Hello, praise the Lord. Today we're going to continue to talk about healing. I thought our last session was going to be our last session, but God began to speak to me about some things that I thought were important enough to record. Now, if you're not currently battling anything, this just might be something you want to file in your memory for another time. But God brought to my attention, over the years, being a minister, of course, a lot of times, there's times when just before a service or 2 days before a service, the enemy used to try to take me out using symptoms, sicknesses, a number of things, not always sickness. And it used to be almost ridiculous. And I had a friend that was a minister, and she was telling me that she used to just get clobbered. She and her husband were pastors of a church, and she used to just really get nailed. And after a while, you begin to realize this is not a coincidence. This is a force trying to stop what God is doing. So she said she had developed her faith to a place where it couldn't happen anymore, and that was a challenge to me as a younger minister. That was challenging because I thought, I need to deal with this because this isn't any fun at all. Now, I did learn not to give in to it. I don't think I ever would give in to it. It didn't matter what was going on. I was determined I will go and I will share the message that God gives me, and the devil can go jump in the lake. But I did not know how to conquer the sickness or the symptoms, and I was learning about faith. And so as I sought the Lord over the years, some things became very, very evident, and they became so normal to me that I didn't realize to share until a friend of mine brought something up, and it began to all just flood out, and I realized, oh, I probably need to talk about this a little bit. So we know that the devil is very shrewd. He's very cruel. Jesus said that the enemy came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So it's hard for us to imagine wanting to be cruel, wanting to hurt or harm. You know, it's hard for us to even imagine what kind of person that is, what kind of heart, what kind of motive is that? And it is kind of a mystery, but one thing we know is that someone with that personality type is looking to do you damage. It's clear. He not only wants to make you sick, he wants to put you in a position to not be able to receive your healing. Now, it's my opinion that his primary motive isn't to make you sick. My opinion is that his primary motive is to separate you from your good relationship with the Father. And I think he does that when he tries to get you tempted to sin. His real issue isn't making you sin so he can say, ha ha, I made you sin, or ha ha, God, your child sinned. No, what he wants is to try to then bring the emotions that will separate you, such as condemnation, guilt, whatever the issue is. Well, sickness is exactly the same way. If you watch, you pay attention to what's going on when things happen. First of all, know most of the time it's just an enemy. Sometimes it is something in the natural, but here's the good news. Faith, Jesus made it clear that faith is the remedy. Whether the sickness came from an enemy, whether it came generationally, whether it came naturally, by you caught a bug, it doesn't matter. The remedy is always the same, and the remedy is faith. Now, God taught me a lot through, there's a man in the Bible, and this man said, I do believe, help my unbelief. He did believe. He'd seen Jesus do miracles. He knew Jesus was a miracle-working man, and so he did have faith. But at the same time, he was fearful, and he had doubts, right? Well, when you're confronted with an illness, the first thing the enemy tries to do is mess with your head, if I can say it that way. The first thing he tries to do is to assault you with whatever emotions will work. And each of us respond differently in times of crisis. One person might respond by feeling condemned that, you know, they didn't have enough faith. With me, it used to be that I would get angry. If an illness is prolonged, a friend of mine went through a prolonged, difficult illness and was a great person of faith, but she began to feel hurt by God. Like, why didn't God, you know, she couldn't understand that concept. And we have a lot of teachings on that subject. I'm not going to deal with that today, but there are some very good reasons why things happen the way they do. So since I mentioned it, if you need to understand why something went wrong and you're struggling with how is this good, how is this a blessing, God gave me hours and hours of downloads to help me understand so that I could operate in faith in times of difficulty. Now, I'm not going to teach it today, but go to our website, which is spiritofgodworldwide.com. And in the search bar, right at the upper right, there's a search bar, and search the word solutions or solution. And it's a series. It'll take you to a series called Solutions, How Things Work in the Kingdom and What to Do When They Don't. Okay. And I think there's 5 or 6 parts to it. But by the time you're done with that, we've had people get healed who've been sick for years just listening to the truths. Now, I didn't come up with those. I'm not that smart. But God gave me those as I sought Him to try to understand why, frankly, why do good things happen to bad people? That's a very common question. And a lot of people really don't know. So we do our best to try to comfort people. But as I sought the Lord, because I know the Lord is good, so why do these terrible things happen? What's really going on? And He downloaded much, much information to me that changed my whole life. And we've had people who, when they listen to that set, it's called Solutions, How Things Work in the Kingdom and What to Do When They Don't. We've had just scads of people healed just by listening to those truths. And it's not about healing. It's about how things work in the kingdom. So I'm not going to go there. But what I want to say is this. When the enemy attacks you with a sickness, or even if you came by it naturally, let's say, no matter what the source, let's say there was a car accident, no matter what the source, he will begin to try to mess with your head, because he doesn't want you to operate in faith. He doesn't want you to stand in faith and receive your healing. But one of the greatest scriptures for me that helps me understand that faith works is the woman with the issue of blood. She'd been sick for years. She'd spent all her money on doctors. Now, that was a tough spot to be in. In those days, a woman who had an issue of blood was considered unclean. She couldn't walk on the same side of the street as other people. It was a terrible stigma. But worse than that, she had to be fearful, frankly, that she would bleed to death, because in those days, people did. You bled to death if you couldn't stop that issue of blood. Her only hope was Jesus Christ. But somehow she got a hold of faith and said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. She believed it and actually broke the Jewish law to press through the crowd. You weren't allowed to do that. She touched people, weren't allowed to do that. And not only that, touched the Savior. You know, she had to know that if people knew, oh man, if people knew she had an issue of blood and she was touching them, big trouble, right? Big, big trouble. And yet her faith pulled a virtue from Jesus, and he didn't even know she was doing it. It's clear from the story, he had no clue that this was going on until he felt healing virtue flow through him. When he felt it, he said, who touched me? And his disciples said, Master, the people are thronging you. They're crowding you. What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody touched. We all touched you. Everybody's pushing against everybody. People were pushing and shoving, trying to get to him. But somebody did it with faith, and it pulled the healing right through him. And he turned and said, first he made her fess up. He said, who touched me? And he pressed in, because everybody was, no one was answering. And she confessed and said, "I, it was me." And he said these words. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. In other words, I didn't really know to pray for you. I didn't know to lay hands on you. I didn't know you were here. I didn't know you were in the crowd. And I didn't know somebody was approaching me in the crowd. But I felt virtue of healing power pass through my body, through my robe, and into somebody. So he didn't even know who somebody was. That proves that faith alone healed her. Now, I will confess to you, I will be very honest and tell you, I was probably the worst person ever when it came to the subject of faith. I don't know why, but I used to be very, very kind of a wimp. And I think I was a very sensitive kid, very, very sensitive and very emotional. You would never know that to know me now, because God has taken me through a long, long journey of being changed, because I asked him to for years. I prayed into being changed for years because I couldn't stand the way I was. I was so emotional. I was ruled by my emotions. And so over the years, God trained me how to process. Emotions aren't bad, but he trained me how to process them, how to deal with them properly. Because what happens when you are sick, whatever the source was, is the enemy will try to mess with your emotions to block you from getting in faith. And so there's a number of tricks that he will try, and I'm going to call these pitfalls or traps that he lays. He lays traps for people, right? And one of the traps is to get you to feel like maybe God is mad at you. Maybe God has forgotten you. You've been praying for days. You didn't get a, what's the story, God? You might feel a little angry at God. There's no condemnation here. I'm teaching you this because I came from this, okay? Some people, fear will be the big thing. Terror almost. I had one time when a symptom came, and I'm going to tell you, every thought in my head was screaming, go to the hospital, go to the hospital, go to the hospital. You know, this is a baddie. This is it. You know, twice in my life, I've had such an attack. And both times the Lord spoke, thanks be to God, I have a relationship with him, but I heard him and he said no. The second time it happened was actually within the last year, and the symptoms were truly frightening. And I thought, oh boy, I better get to the hospital. And there was a hospital right down the road. I was out of town. I was by myself in a hotel room. I was supposed to be preaching that night. Oh, big coincidence. This big attack comes the morning that I'm supposed to go preach. There's a big surprise, right? But I was laying in bed, and the first thing I did was put on the scriptures, right? Because the scriptures have life in them. The scriptures actually contain healing power. He said, I sent my word and healed them. Now, he was talking about Jesus, the word, but he was also talking about the scriptures, right? The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We might say, sharper than any two-edged sword the enemy has, right? It's the power of the word that heals you. But it heals you when that word goes in you and becomes truth and faith springs up. So the first thing I did was turn on the scriptures and just rest in God. Just lay and rest and absorb those scriptures. And a scripture came, and I don't honestly remember which one it was, but I felt like I received healing into my spirit. And I received a ting, just this little ting, faith. And so then, all of a sudden, I thought, this isn't even a real sickness. This is a true attack. This is a spiritual issue, and I'm going after it in prayer. Because, see, if a foul spirit is attacking you, well, to me, that's just easy. You just go into prayer, and you deal with that thing until he's dealt with. So I felt sick. Remember, all the symptoms had not left, right? And it was still scary. But I thought, this is a devil, and here's what I know about them. You can defeat them every time if you won't back down, if you won't give in to fear, if you stick the scriptures in their face, get the scriptures, get a couple scriptures, and you pray in the spirit, and you beat them to death with the scriptures. There's no devil created. Satan and all his hordes, all rolled up together, cannot defeat the word, period. It's a fact. The issue we have is if we don't know that or we don't really believe it, we sort of act on it and then we go, oh, it didn't work, and we give up too soon, right? So one of the things that I learned Let me back up. Remember, I was talking about when I was a younger minister, I had to learn how to win. And I knew that it was crucial. I have to learn how to win, right? We all need to learn how to win, not just over sickness, but over temptation, over circumstances. We have to learn how to overcome. Jesus told us clearly he wanted us to overcome, right? And he said that he overcame. He said it himself. He said, to those who overcome, they will sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Jesus himself had to overcome as a human in this earth. He had to overcome and he had to do faith to do it. Yes, he did. He had to have faith about his ministry. He had to have faith. Believe me, every devil in the universe tried to kill that man before it was time. But he would not let them. Okay? And that's what we're to do. It's we're to imitate Jesus. So, there are many emotions Satan will try to use, but whichever ones they are, the purpose of those emotions is to keep you from thinking with clarity, oh, I need to get in faith. So one thing I learned early on is the first thing to do is to go after my thoughts and get my mind into faith. So do whatever it takes, but get in faith. If I have to walk up and down and quote scriptures, if I have to read the word, if I have to listen to faith messages, I will do whatever I have to do to get my mind in faith. And one of the things my old pastor used to say, it's so much wisdom. And he said, faith is an act of your will. It's a choice. See, I didn't know that. I was ignorant. And he was teaching on faith all the time, and I was just so clueless. But I remembered him saying, faith, it's a choice, it's an act of your will. You can say, I will believe. I will not believe the devil. I will believe what God has said. And so I began to go through a journey, and I won't say, this is a journey of a lifetime. We will have to stand and overcome all the days of our life, right? Maybe not sickness, but something. There's always stuff in the earth that we are put here to overcome, to rise above, and to rule over. And that's the will of God. That's the will of God for his children, to rule and reign instead of cower. I just want to say that one of the biggest lies that the enemy has is that someone else needs to come and help you. You will stay sick forever if you think that you have to wait for somebody with a healing gift to come to town and lay hands on you. Now, I was married to a man with a healing gift, and it was wonderful, and it was a gift from God. But that is not the primary solution. In fact, that was just given so that people who didn't know how to receive their healing through the Word could still be blessed by the mercy of God, right? But the Word of God was given to you so you could learn how to wield the sword in the earth and rule over the enemy, rule over sickness and disease, rule over doubt and fear, rule over temptation, rule over sin. The Word of God was given to you as a massive, powerful weapon. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what the Bible says. The only offensive weapon that we have in our gallery of weapons. The offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, one of the biggest traps I've seen is people who say, I want someone to pray for me. I want a word from the Lord. Why do they want that? Because that will make their emotions feel better. A word comes that, oh, honey, God loves you and everything's going to be okay, and their emotions are all soothed for about, what, an hour? 2 hours? A day? But that doesn't always heal. But God's not opposed. God is great in mercy and tender in his compassion. He totally gets where we're at, and he gets this process. But because he loves us, he wants to raise us up to be absolute, I almost just want to say absolute monsters in the realm of faith and knowledge of the Word, not just knowledge doctrinally, but knowledge of the Word as a sword. And what happens is if you can reconfigure your mind, I have to say it, your mind, I used to work in computers. I worked with computers for 39 years. That was my living. And what I discovered is that the computer is very similar to the way the human mind works. You can configure it to do anything you want. You can configure it to say, 2 plus 3 equals 7, which it doesn't. And that computer believes that, and as long as that's how you've programmed it, it'll always do that. It'll give you wrong results every time if you configure it that way. Your mind is precisely the same way. How you configure it, that is the output you will get. And some people have been configured to believe, well, only if someone lays hands on me, then I can be sick. Or only if I feel a goosebump. So I'll go to a conference hoping for a goosebump. Well, we love our retreats and we love the goosebumps. And we've seen miraculous, I mean, almost stunning healings just in the presence. But let me tell you something. When you're home alone for a long time, it's you and the devil and the Word and God. And there probably isn't anyone coming over to fix you. And if you, by the way, if you have that attitude, they can't fix you because faith is a requirement. You know, unless they've got faith enough for the both of you, right? You have to develop your faith. But God is not mad at you. I mean, thank God. You know, if he was mad over people who weren't in faith, he'd have struck me with lightning years ago. It took a while. But I was determined to reconfigure my thinking about everything. I'm still determined to do that. I'm not all there yet. You know, it takes a lifetime. I am reconfiguring the way I think, though. And now what I do know, and this is the point I want to make today, is that if you are under attack, the devil is smart enough to start with your emotions. You'll have a symptom in your body, but that's only a small part of the attack. The attack will be what comes against your thoughts to prevent you from walking in faith. So make up your mind. I don't care what the circumstance is. I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's physical healing that's needed. I don't care if it's something wrong in the family or if it looks like a person's going to lose their house. I don't care what the crisis is. The answer is something that if you were alone on a desert island with the Word of God in prayer and our Father, you are destined to win. God wants you to win, but you have to reconfigure your thinking so that you can reconfigure your response. Jesus cannot lie. The Bible says God cannot lie. And he has never lied. In the history of the universe, he has never lied. And he said these words, "Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that those things he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." We know from all eternity he spoke the truth. So is the problem with us? And people say, well, now you make me feel guilty. Don't feel guilty. Just feel like, oh, I have to learn that. Does a second grader feel guilty because they don't know calculus? No, of course not. But they may realize, oh, that's something that eventually I'll have to learn. I'll have to learn division. I'll have to learn fractions. I'll have to learn geometry. I'll have to learn algebra. And then I'll maybe go on to calculus. Maybe then I'll go on to physics. Right? No matter where you're at in your journey, it's never a guilt thing. It's never a condemnation thing. God is not mad at you, but he is saying that we're to grow up into all things to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So until our mind works the way Jesus's works, where we know that we were put here to rule and reign, and Satan was put here to serve, right? He was not put here to be the master. We were. And that's throughout the scriptures. There's absolutely no argument. We were put here. Luke, Jesus said in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you personally, you, yes, you, not just the disciples, you, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you." But that is not automated. That's like him saying, okay, you're going to go into the boxing ring with Muhammad Ali or George Foreman, and I'm going to help you to win, but you still have to go in the ring and you have to fight. And if you're looking to somebody to do it for you, you will be disappointed. Okay, you do have to learn. We have a journey. I hope this isn't too tough, but I think for too long I've seen people remain sick because they thought, well, Jesus will come and do it for me. Well, as if you've been listening to these other sessions, you know that he already did it for you. He's already done it for us. And he wants us to now stand against the enemy, take what is ours, stick your foot in the enemy's face, grind, you know, it says trample on serpents and scorpions. You pray until you win. You pray until you win. You quote scriptures until you win. But most of all, you transform your mind. Don't look for, you know, don't look for somebody to come charging in through the door and fix this for you, because that's a trick of the enemy, okay? And I hope that I've shared this with gentleness. I don't want to condemn anybody, but I do want, I do believe this is a season for the body of Christ to grow up in all things into him, even the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, okay? So I love you, and God loves you, and we'll talk to you next time.